This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
All right. Good morning to you. Happy Monday to you. Let's do it. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610 on a Monday. John Lopez, the OG, is back. How you feeling, brother?
I'm feeling great, except for a couple of little downers here and there, namely last night. All good. A little resurgence personally, just to get out on the boat, finally use it and run it and catch a couple fish. Not as many as I like, but it was fun.
Okay. Very good. I'm Reginald Atitula. Figgy Fig.
I work when nobody's watching. As opposed to what they were talking about with Jalen Green.
We're gonna talk about that. Rockets loose. Rockets fall in game seven. They make it to a game seven after being down 3-1, but it was ugly. 103-89. There wasn't really an opportunity or an instance where you felt great about that. I don't think at all really during that game. Game seven. What went wrong in game seven? 713-572-4610 is the number to text. Also, there's the Mo Karam injury lawyer live stream, both on YouTube, Sports Radio 610, and Twitch 610 Houston. But yeah, man, what went wrong? How are we feeling on this Monday? And I have a feeling I have an idea to some degree what that second answer is. But I'm interested because, like, If you have gotten to the place, right, because everybody deals with losses in sports differently. Some people push themselves very quickly to that 30,000-foot view. And if you've gotten to that place quickly, I actually envy you because you come back and you go, this was a rousing success of a season. I'm still way too close to this where there's a lot of frustration for me. Especially, as we just talked about, the backdrop of Game 6 where you had a Rockets team that pretty resoundingly and pretty, like, or actually, like, down the stretch in this game, found a way to, you know, withstand a storm from Golden State on their home floor in a elimination context. I thought that this Rockets team had found something. I thought that they were figuring out how to play in these confines with what they have and the limitations that they have to where when they return home for game seven, that they would have a much better effort than the effort that we saw in a 103-89 loss.
Daniel, I'm glad you mentioned game six because it did feel like they found something. But at the same time, Fred VanVleet was just shooting out of his mind.
Him by himself was a bellwether for this series. Because the first three games, we know Fred VanVleet was not knocking down. In fact, game one, he was taking a whole bunch of shots that seemed ill-advised. The difference in offensive output in games three through six for this Rockets team, especially with Jalen Green, with his struggles and everything, It primarily started with Fred VanVleet recognizing they're playing off me. I'm going to take these pull-up three-pointers, and then from there, we're going to be able to execute offense, moving the ball quickly, being deliberate, him running the point in those pick and rolls. Like, that was a huge boon for this offense and for this team, especially with his experience in the playoffs, and you just didn't have that in game seven. I mean, he was 3 of 6 from three. But that volume was low, and you could tell that the Golden State Warriors were gearing up for him so that it was going to be a, okay, you've been good. We're not letting you do this. Can anybody else give you what you're looking
for? So that's my question, because did they really, it felt like it, but did they really find something, or did they just find a guy that was just white hot? Especially a lot of those threes were pull up, leaning, you know, in transition. That's not necessarily finding something if you really think about it. That it's good to have the transition, but it's a guy that just was lights out. I mean, just lights out. So,
but for three games,
but he was doing the same thing. He was extremely hot.
Mm-hmm.
He was extremely hot. And I'm really, it's more of a question than anything. Did they really like X's and O's this thing, you know, to death to get back into the series, or was it, hey man, good job, keep making those shots? Because then,
so yeah, you're going shot variance here.
Yeah, because yesterday, the shoe was on the other foot, quite literally. Buddy Hield played the role of Fred VanVleet. You know, they won that game because Buddy Hield made a bleep ton of shots.
Yeah, the Buddy Hield game in which Buddy Hield, 33 of them things on 12 of 15 shooting, 9 of 11 from three. I mean, Buddy Hield got up 11 three-pointers, whereas the Rockets got up 18 as a team.
Mm-hmm. So that's my question. You know, I'm so glad you brought up Game 6 because I felt the same way. I'm not going to sit here and say I didn't think that they were kind of onto something. But when you step back and look at it, it was like, they were just lights out. It wasn't like Ime Udoka finding an offense. And I know they were emphasizing transition and all that and giving him the green light. And so that's a little something. But it wasn't like, you know, inside out game. Their cuts are so much better.
Their cuts were better.
They were better.
Because there's one person in particular I can point to when it comes to the cuts. You were saying, though?
Because it was really more so the shots going down, number one. And number two, the Golden State Warriors could not throw it in the ocean in the fourth quarter. Is that finding something, or did they lose something? You know what I mean? I mean, they were awful in the fourth quarter. Just awful.
Yeah, I don't know that we talked about this enough during the course of this series, and it makes sense, right? We are here in Houston. We've been following this Houston Rockets team for a long time. That's where our focus is going to be. The Warriors got in this weird space in those in that stretch of three games where they did not utilize their zone that much. And some of it was you were shooting them in, out of a place where they had to kind of get out and guard you on the perimeter. But game seven, they returned to that place where they, remember, in game one we saw where they were like, look, in the paint here, you're not going to be able to do the things that you want to do. And I think that hampered Alperen Şengün in game seven. That hampered some of the other guys that you have typically getting into the heart of the defense. Mm-hmm. Like they were not able to do that nearly as successfully and as easily as they had been, as evidenced by you shot something like 47%. You shot in the 40s in towards the paint, in the paint area in this series, or in game seven of this series. That's not going to work, especially for a team where you weren't shooting very well. You're not an offensively inclined team, and your path to victory is getting offensive rebounds and putting shots in. Even if that's the case, you're getting offensive rebounds. 40% is not enough to win a playoff game against a good team. And a team that's shooting
so
well.
So back to their very first question you asked, what went wrong? I think what went wrong was they were counting on those shots falling. They didn't fall. I thought they bailed on the double bigs a little bit too much, too soon. And I don't feel like Ime Udoka really trusted his bench players enough.
Let's talk about it.
I really don't. You got 30 combined minutes from Jabari Smith and Tari Eason. I thought they were positives in this game every time they were on the floor. And you didn't trust them enough. You stayed with Jalen Green. You know, at some point you have to win the game that you're playing. You know? You have to win that game.
Right.
We can talk, and we will talk about Jalen Green individually a little later, but you can talk all you want about, well, is he young? Is it, you know, can he get better? You can talk about all that you want. You had to win game seven. You had to win game seven. And I texted you guys this, and I even felt a little, you know, weird about texting. He's like, why was Jalen Green still in the game?
No, I saw the text, and I don't think I responded directly to it, but I was thinking about it.
Yeah.
And one of the things that is I've been pestering B. Scott with text to lighten you guys' load in the group chat. I hope that you guys appreciated that. Was an oddity that I noticed as we continued through the series. And I want to start by prefacing this with the disclaimer of, I understand that plus minus is a stat that does not tell you nearly as much as sometimes we want to pretend it does. It is simply when you were on the floor, was your team more advantageous or less advantageous when it comes to the scoring? Continually through this series, especially as Jalen Green was having these lackluster points games, he was on the higher end of the plus minus on this Rockets team time and time again. And that continued in game seven, where he was a minus six, which was the second best on the team, only to Fred VanVleet, a minus five. Again, understanding the flaws in this statistic. Jabari Smith Jr. was a minus nine in his minutes, his 12 minutes. Tarisa was a minus 12 in his 16 minutes. And I don't necessarily know what the like genesis of that is, right? Because I can't point to anything within Jalen Green's game specifically saying, oh, well, he was clearly being a scorer or he was clearly being a distributor. He only had one assist in this game. Or like, I don't know what the things are that I could point to, or he was like locked down defensively that assisted. Just when he was on the floor, and it continued not just in game seven, but all through the series, they tended to play better when it comes to relative to, you know, the Warriors. And I don't know why that is. And I do wonder if that was something that was sensed by Ime, but I understand that that is a really heady perspective of it. And if you zoom back out, you just go, Jabari Smith Jr. has looked like he has been more better with the minutes that he has been given. Tari Eason feels like he gives you more of the energy, the opportunity to get out in transition. And they did not go to that much. It just feels like this was a dance with the ones who brought you, and not necessarily just this series, but understanding that Jalen Green has been impactful for you, and he's grown a lot over the entirety of the season.
And I think that's what went wrong. You know, you mentioned the plus minus, how it can be a little bit of a gray area there. We know what we saw. You know, we know what it felt like when those other guys were on the floor. And Jalen Green, not really, they might have been, you know, had a less of a minus with him on the floor, but not asserting himself, not forcing you know, himself into some better shots or looks or whatever it might be.
Which I don't know how much you wanted him to force, because we saw games earlier in the series where he forced and it felt like it was more detrimental.
No, and I agree with that. That's what I'm saying. Like, why was he on the floor if you weren't getting that and the other guys just felt better? And then there's you know, a lot of people are going to be talking about Şengün. He didn't have a great game, no matter what the numbers say.
9-23 isn't really particularly helpful, but yeah, 21-14 is probably what you're pointing. Or 21 and 14, rather. 21 points, 14 rebounds.
That looks okay, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It didn't feel okay.
Well, especially when he seems like he's the only one out there, with all due respect to Amen Thompson's 24.
Missing a lot of easy shots, bunnies, and everything else. But I thought, I felt like Ime Udoka should have trusted the, you know, his instincts in that game a little bit more. And that was kind of what, for me, what went wrong.
I feel that feels like his instincts there, though.
His instinct was to stay with the ones that brung him.
But yeah,
that brung him here. And I feel like he should have worried more about winning that game. You can rehabilitate Jalen Green if you want to. You can try to correct things in the offseason or in the next series had they won or whatever it may be. I felt like they weren't really trusting the hot hand, so to speak, the best rotations, etc.
Yeah, Some of the other things that are that were there with Tari Eason, it is worth noting. He had the couple of blocks. That's something that he brings, but he did have the turnovers. He didn't look all that settled in the game. And yeah, 281, they said they love Tari, but he didn't look good in game seven. Not a lot of guys did. From the 832, do you agree with this sentiment? Getting eliminated by a seventh seed is still unacceptable, all caps. Hey, Rockets, how about some offense? What should have been done is Buddy the Heel should have had his nose and arm broken. So they're going with the physicality. How did you feel about that portion of it? It felt like this game actually took a little bit of a step back in some of the physicality aspects of it.
Yeah, they didn't. You know, most of their physical nature in the series was almost in response to what Draymond Green and the Warriors were doing. Well, they toned that back a little bit, and the Rockets didn't elevate theirs. And so maybe there is something to that. But I also feel like, you know, in terms of like what the Rockets could have done offensively, it just wasn't, you know, in terms of just basic sets, looks, getting the ball inside out, et cetera, it just was a little stagnant. And it just wasn't, they never led in this game, did they?
That's a great question.
I don't think they ever led in this game.
I'll have to double check because I don't think I ever checked for that in particular.
They were somewhat passive the whole time. They made a brief run to get it to three, missed a couple of free throws, which was awful. And then that was that.
Yeah, so a 103-89 loss for the Rockets, and man, it really just felt like the Warriors, this is where the experience and the coaching showed up, but you didn't help it. You didn't help it by just not scoring very well, and they did lead for a quick moment at the end of the first quarter.
Okay.
And I think that was probably, 20-19 or something in that realm. But that was the only space in this game that the Rockets led. And it was the thing that you kind of, the questions that were raised about this Rockets team once you were nearing the playoffs, would they have the offense, particularly in the half court? And in this instance, they didn't. It was all the things, right? It's missing bunnies close, maybe not being as good at the free throw line as you wanted to. Definitely not having shooters and how that affected various guys, including Fred VanVleet, who had been your best shooter, but then the Warriors making it very abundantly clear, we're not going to let you pull up and we're going to force you to get the ball out of your hands in these instances. And all those things came to roost, in addition to, unfortunately, a little crack in the defense. Like, if the defense was not going to be elite, you weren't going to be able to win this series. And Buddy Hield had a lot of open looks. Even Steph Curry early in this game had a lot of looks that he didn't, you know, put down. And then when they started going, it was night-night.
But that's a product kind of like they didn't respond. They didn't bring it themselves. They were waiting to respond to the aggressiveness and everything that the Warriors brought, and they didn't bring it. And by the way, I mean, you got to just obviously tip your cap to Steph Curry. You know, what he can do on both ends of the floor, what he was doing, fourth quarter in particular. I mean, you know, it's experience. It's he's been there. It's unflappable. It's all that, and at some point, you just got to give him
that
credit.
Brother was playing defense,
he was
man.
Doing everything.
I'm like, is that Steph Curry?
He was doing everything.
He was. I mean, and that is the hunger of a team that's been there a whole bunch of time and also knows that their window is closing and that they needed to make sure that they won this one. And they did. So the Rockets season officially over, but there's still tons to talk about. As we know, this team is in a very interesting space where there's a lot of things to dissect. And we'll continue doing that today and as we continue on through this week. But it is a Monday here in the Loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us. We will talk plenty more about what the Rockets are going through and how you continue to look at what this team is dealing with and how they get better. Coming up next, let's circle back to the Astros, in which the thing that you thought never would happen, Lopez, actually did happen on Sunday. The Astros did lose, however, but what were the encouraging portions of the day and the weekend? We'll do
today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Do that next. Yep, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Happy Monday to you. John Lopez, Reginald Atula, Figgy Fig, hanging out with you. There's a little bit of sadness in the air. I feel it. With the Rocket season officially over, we're still dealing with the immediate pain. How many hours? Like, we're not even 12 hours away from this going official that your season is over. So I imagine as we continue to move further away from that, we'll be able to really look fondly at what was a huge leap of a season. But as of right now, that's kind of there. And one of the things that, you know, usually in a sports city, if you have a season kind of in that way, you could just go, well, let's on to the next thing. The other thing that is floating our boat, especially in a successful sports city. And right now, I guess the question I have is, does it feel like the Astros are that for you?
Yes. At least today. How does that sound? Because
that doesn't sound all that convincing.
Today,
to be
the answer is yes. Today, yeah, and the reason is, like, the Astros lost yesterday, obviously 5-4, which, don't get me started on rainouts.
I was so pissed off.
No, go ahead. I would like to hear it.
Rainouts are the dumbest thing in professional sports.
Okay, I think this is a bad take. I'm just going to start and let you know. I think this is a bad take up front. However, I'm willing to hear you
out. All right, hear me out on this. You are playing a professional sport.
Correct. They pay them for it, yes.
They pay you to play the game. And after six innings, they go, nah, we're good. We're good. It rained. 80-minute delay. We're good. In what other sport?
Seven innings,
whatever it was. In what other sport do they just like, nah, we're good? I mean, outside of a stadium collapsing or something in football, you know, or something like that, where they just say, we're good. Just find a way to either, number one, everybody play in a dome, or number two.
Well, that ain't happening no time soon.
Also, I don't think I'd want that to happen for everyone to play in a dome. Like, I understand logistically that would be great.
It definitely should be some type of retractable roof or something.
And there's another part to this, too. Yes, a retractable roof. And the second thing is, like, find a way to play the game, because they can call it after five innings. Five innings, barely half the game.
The crazy thing is, I felt like the White Sox knew it.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Like, they was trying to get them runs in. Yeah. Like, once we get the runs in, then we could call this game. They called that game. It felt like immediately.
I can't imagine, like, no other sport do they say, nah, we're good, man. That's enough. That's enough.
No other sport are they playing damn near every day, and the schedule is hard to make up.
NBA.
Like, literally double the amount of games here.
Figure it out.
It's easy to say, figure it out, man. They ain't really place to put all these things.
To me, I just don't, like, I get where you're coming from, Lopez.
It's
just
stupid.
Just imagine playing the game and you almost done with the game and he said, nah, it's over, you lose.
Yeah.
It's like, man, we had time to come back.
We were just getting started.
We was getting grooving. Now it's over and I lost?
Yes.
Like, no tie or anything, just a loss?
You didn't want to lose, score more runs, dog.
But all that you say, you know, it's hard.
We still have time on the clock.
You say it's hard to kind of make up for it. It's not impossible. They have the box score. They know who played and who didn't. And you can figure out an off day. You can figure out a road trip or play on the road, you know, instead of the home. If you next time the White Sox come here or whatever, you can figure these
things out.
You're
doing a lot.
No, I'm not. Hell, during the hurricane, the Astros played up in Arlington. I mean,
out. The game ain't started yet. The game done started. We done played most of it. It's fine.
You have the box score. You know who shouldn't come back in, who's, you know, what pitchers have been used and all that. Play the next two innings, whatever. Do it. This is professional sports.
There's enough of them where it balances out. Yeah. It evens out.
No, I get where you're coming from. Yeah. I side with Reggie a little bit. Mm-hmm. I get it. That's the part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But damn, it was a one-run game. This was a 21 skunk.
Oh, by the way, some gamblers might have a thing or two to say about this too, and we know professional sports really like to take care of the gamblers.
Yeah, but this is where it's nice that you're not trying to implement the rule right now, that it's been there.
Yeah.
Because if you came up right now, like, actually,
hell no.
That's one of those places that I like thinking to, is just like, what are the things that we're used to that we but that if we were bringing them up brand new right now, that would be like absolutely the bleep.
Hey, I got an idea. If it rains, we'll just call the game.
We'll just be done.
The hell you are.
Yes.
The hell you are.
Unfortunately, the Astros lose the series to the White Sox, you know, 2-1. And of course, that was hurt because of the, as you mentioned, the rainout that happened yesterday, 5-4. But within it, the most encouraging thing, was it encouraging for you? Seeing Lance McCullers Jr. for the first time since the 2022 World Series, getting up on the mound, 3 2/3, which really felt like it should have been the complete four.
Mm-hmm.
Felt like that final pitch that he threw was a curveball high in the zone that felt like it fell right in, that he was not given the benefit of the doubt for. But officially, 3 2/3 innings, no earned runs. He had 4 strikeouts, 87 pitches. So you're really, you know, you're seeing that, you know, that a decent amount of pitches thrown. And it seemed like he had pretty good you know, the curveball at least looked good. That's the, you know, the calling card for him. Like, how did you feel about it? Were you encouraged seeing Lance McCullers back on the
mound? No, that was the most encouraging thing, but I don't think that was the only encouraging thing.
Okay, what else you got for me?
By any stretch. First of all, with Lance McCullers, I pulled a Reggie and I dug into some some pitch stats.
This is dumb because I don't hold the copyright on stats.
You do on this show.
Yeah, you do on the. He threw like 54% changeups against left-handed hitters, and he's usually at about 20, 25.
Yeah,
he's actually gotten better stuff after the layoff in terms of his changeup. And that's big.
He's had a lot of time to work on.
He's had a lot of time to work on the old change. But no, so that was encouraging. Just him in general was encouraging,
which is going to be great. Like having a pitcher that, you know, is going to really hurt
against lefties. Yeah.
Is going to be, cause I mean, right now I think it's probably just Hunter Brown that you have when it comes to the rotation that you go, oh yeah,
yeah.
Lefty's going to have some trouble today. Right. Mm-hmm. And so having McCullers in that space as well is going to be great for you.
I think that was encouraging. Everything about Lance McCullers, obviously healthy, knock on wood, all that. But here's the other encouraging things. They lost, but look at the standings. How much do you trust the Mariners and the A's, who are now in first place and second place in your division, while the Rangers are crazy?
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, the Rangers, and we'll talk more about this later. Rangers are creating to the point where they fired their hitting coach. Don't get no ideas, Astros fans, but they did fire their hitting coach. This all, and they just went ahead and released one of their guys as well, just straight up waived him. But yeah, man, here's the tough thing about it. The Mariners are hitting.
They are hitting now.
And so that was always the thing. It was like the pitching is great for the Mariners. Not good, great for the Mariners. Mm-hmm. But they can't hit. Ha, ha, ha. You can't hit. And all of a sudden you look up and obviously they made some moves. Like last year I thought they would be able to hit with the moves, some of the moves that they made, especially like bringing in someone like a Randy or Rosarena and stuff like that. I was like, oh man, maybe they'll hit, and they didn't. And that maybe got you the place where you went, oh, they're just never going to hit. Seems like it's coming around now. That's the one that I'm afraid of. The A's, I don't know what to believe. They did spend some money this offseason, right? Which I guess you have to give some level of credit to the ownership, even though I will not, for doing that. And it seems like that is benefiting them. Mm-hmm. But I think that the Mariners are the ones that I'm a little bit more intrigued by. But even then, like, they're not running away with this.
No, and they're the Mariners. Right, and they're the Mariners. And you, I think last year they were ahead of you for a while. And they're always going to be looking in the rearview mirror. They're not to be trusted. Until they can prove otherwise.
So yeah, I think they are fourth in the AL when it comes to scoring runs.
Okay.
Thus far.
So I'm encouraged by that. And the bullpen spit the bit yesterday. That's where the Astros lost the game. But it was...
including Gusto, who slid to the pen, which was a little uncomfortable after him having such a solid stint as a starter, which I think he might also return. I think they were talking about that on the Space City Home Network broadcast yesterday. He'll return to the rotation here soon.
But it was also, you know, they didn't perform well in the midst of this really, you know, bad rain. So there was a kind of a mitigating factor there that may have
affected the cold and the rain.
The cold, and there was 40 degrees. It was 40 degrees in Chicago yesterday and raining. So I'm not real worried about those guys until, you know, unless it happens, you know, more. So I was actually pretty encouraged. And then the other thing is, you know, they've got the Brewers and Reds and Rangers upcoming, although they do play the Royals in there at some point. This is not a daunting part of the schedule, even though they're playing a lot of games.
Yeah. Yes, you are right. Retro Ren on the YouTube page. There was also another encouraging thing, which was Jake Myers on Saturday going absolutely ballistic.
How many bases? 13?
Yes. Yes. Which ties a franchise record.
13 bases. So, So, you know, you lost, but it was actually today I'm encouraged.
Okay. That is good.
We'll talk again tomorrow.
Unfortunately, you did lose the series, and I don't know. I was about to say quiet is kept. It was not quiet. Yordan missed a couple of games, kind of nursing a little bit of discomfort within his hand. So you hope that that's not a major thing. Or do you think that's a major thing? Or do you, like, all right, so because the Astros have, you know, a reputation.
Yes, they do.
Do you think that this is either a thing that they are soft pedaling? Is this B, not a thing, but they're just trying to find, like, this is a small thing, but enough of an excuse to try to give him a little bit of time to help reset because he's had a rough month? Or C, just none of the above, and it's just like, hey, it is what it is.
I think it's D, something else.
Something else entirely. Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah. He hasn't been hitting very well. So how long has there been something going on with his hand?
Ooh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe this is something from spring training, from early in the season, and it's just, I'm not saying it's like a season ender by any stretch, but maybe something's been bugging him with his hand, and maybe that's...
Does that make you, is that possibility more encouraging or less encouraging that, like, the Yordan that we have seen, assuming that there was something that was ailing him, that was what was affecting his ability to, you know, slug?
I think it's slightly less encouraging, but I don't think it's like one of those things like, oh, my gosh, he's going to end up on the IL, you know, as the Astros are wont to do. Oh, he's got a little soreness, and then he misses 10 weeks. You know, I don't think it's that. But I think it is D. I think it's probably something that he's been trying to work through with his hand, and they're just giving it some extra time.
All right, well, the Astros back in action in Milwaukee versus the Brewers over the next 3 days. They start at 6:40 tonight. See if the Astros can get their offense going again indoors, though. So there you go. Like, I'm happy.
Oh, good. They're going to play all nine innings.
That's right. That's right. I know
what
that,
a concept.
I know that matters a lot to you there,
what
Lopez.
A concept.
All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get to our question of the day. Inspired by Draymond Green. Yeah, I know. He seemed to have just a little bit more coof, although he did like backhand someone in the course of this game. So that is all relative. It seemed like he had a little bit of calm to him. And apparently advice from family members and his barber told him to kind of rein it back in. What is a strange place that you get advice or inspiration from? 713-572-4610. We'll discuss it next. All right. Let's get into our question of the day here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Where's a strange place you get advice or inspiration from? 713-572-4610. Inspired by Draymond Green, unfortunately, after the Warriors got over on the Rockets in Game 7. So damn close, it feels like. To bring in and getting that comeback, that 3-1 comeback, honoring the 2015 Rockets and such. But unfortunately, weren't able to do it. And one of the things that helped the Warriors do that was Draymond Green obviously continuing to be the player that he is with the respect to the player, even though he can be a little bit of a jerk, an understatement for sure. But he found a way to keep that in check, somehow not being ejected from any of these games. Still can't believe that, but
barely.
Yeah,
barely.
Barely. Really and truly. I mean, he got that flagrant one pretty early in Game 7 as well. But after the game, Draymond was talking about, you know, this game and you know, how he came into it, and he said that he had some heart to hearts after Game 6. He said his wife, one of his closest friends, his barber was one of his is also one of his closest friends. He talked about Coach Izzo. He said he pouted way too much in Game 6, spent the 2 days afterward embarrassed just at what he gave to the game, what he gave to the world. And so, you know, he wanted to get back on the floor and do better. You could determine if you think he did better. I'm not here to parse that because I don't really have time.
I wonder what made him think now.
That's the thing that gets me. Well, because apparently
I've been in the league for so long doing this BS type of stuff. So now I'm like, you know
what? I'm a new man.
Right.
I need to change. I need to listen to more R&B.
The fact that he used embarrassed there, I was like, just now?
Yeah.
Not when you was kicking people in the kids?
Yeah.
Now you was out here knocking people's heads into the floorboards? None of that?
Stomping people out?
Yeah.
Yes.
So now he like, oh, you know what? I was embarrassed.
I'm going to listen to my
barber.
This
series.
I'm going to listen to my barber and do that. Actually, it made me think of my wife. She got really mad at me the other day. When
I'm not surprised.
she was
why am I not surprised, John Lopez?
She was talking about her friend who does her hair. And I said, oh, you mean the friend you pay $125 to every couple of weeks? That friend?
I'll be your friend for $125 a couple of weeks.
That's what I'm saying. She's like, no, she's my friend. I said, she's paid to be your friend.
Oh, man. Come on, man.
She got really mad. And that's kind of what, like a barber and hairstylists, as people who give you advice and you really listen to, it's just because they're available. It's just because you're paying them and they're there for an hour.
I don't know about this one, man.
No, like in no other context.
You got to go to the right barber shop. These barbers be knowing, thinking they know everything.
They know everything.
They be sitting there talking so much. They be thinking they could get on ESPN right now.
Yes.
And debate, man.
Thinking they could.
Which is the best version, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Let them talk about sports rather than the other stuff they might talk about.
Yeah.
But you're taking advice. You know, and from just someone who happens to be there that you spend a lot of time with. So where's the strangest place you get advice or inspiration, if you will?
From the A32 penthouse forum. First and foremost, is penthouse still doing that?
I don't know.
Like that feels like a little bit of a dated reference.
Yeah.
And not that I'm judging. I was just like immediately had the thought. which actually, you know what? I have the internet. We can find out. But yeah, I guess in a way, somewhat, well, not even somewhat similar, but just Forum gets me going. I had always fought this, but I have come to like utilize it, which is, You go Googling for stuff, and now, especially with like the associations with Google and the AI stuff, all that. Don't want to get too deep into it, but Reddit starts popping up, and I have taken more and more to that crowdsourcing. Hey, man, all right, what they saying in here? Let me go. Now, I don't just take everything wholesale, but I'll be jumping in there like.
That's kind of the streets now, which man. That's the new street.
Which is real scary because there's nothing substantiating any of this. Like, there's no editorial process, but I just be jumping in there like, huh, maybe they got something to say.
You know where I'm a sucker and I take bad advice, and or maybe it's good, but far too easily, is like from salespeople. Like, if I'm in the market for something.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, it's really this, this, and this. I'm like, it is? Of course, you're not trying to sell me something. You're being honest, right? I'm like, really? It is?
Which is something I don't want to think about because, oh, okay, let me see. Yeah. This is actually as of relatively recently, 20. Oh, never mind. That's not right. But, yeah, like, when it comes to salespeople, you think that, all right, I could tell that this person is being genuine.
Some of them are good.
But also some folks are just really good.
They're really good at it.
Really good at selling.
It's like, oh, you mean it is a good time to buy a car? Oh, yeah. I would have thought no.
Yeah, that's real nasty work.
I think the best advice I got from some, I actually got the best advice from a crackhead. He told.
See, they got nothing.
He said, hey, you don't want to end up like me, young man. Hey, don't do drugs. Stay in school. That's the best advice you could get.
I didn't really
understand it at that time because I was younger. But now I'm like, man, I don't want to end up like you.
Sometimes you get advice from people like that that clearly they're sort of like introspective and they're kind of taking stock of all the mistakes they made and they're like, listen.
Yeah.
No, that's some good advice man. Yeah. Like, stay in school, don't do drugs. Mm-hmm. Because you're going to end up like me.
Mm-hmm. But also, like, sometimes.
With 8 teeth in your mouth.
Sometimes we think. You counted them? Sometimes we think that the folks that, like, have things going right with them are the ones that have, like, the opportunity to give you experience or give you game. But nah, a lot of times the folks who have made the mistakes, you learn from their mistakes so that you don't have to make them. And then, boom, you are off to the races. Like, I think that is a fair way of looking at it. Absolutely.
And sometimes people who are, like, into something. Like, let's say, just in my world, like fishing. If anyone says anything about how they caught a fish, you're buying it. You know, like, oh, they caught a fish. Well, I got to try that. Or they, you know, it couldn't, not necessarily just fishing, but
just
like,
the copycat nature.
Yeah, like, oh, they had success doing it, and they could have just been dumb luck. And you're like, yeah, I'm going to try that. You know, whatever it might be. It can get kind of silly sometimes.
That's interesting. I do wonder if that tracks, if it's just like areas of little success, right? Like, obviously, for me, that immediately made me think of like golf because I am an incredible golf novice.
You know, if
like,
you move your hand just a little bit, you can drive like that. But it's different.
Yeah.
You know?
Although I'm not inclined to take that. Like if I'm at the driving range and somebody's like, hey, bro, you should blah, blah, blah. I don't think I'm all that inclined to take that. But if I'm on like Instagram and somebody's like, here's how to, you know, make sure that you're hitting straight or whatever. I'm like, Let me save this reel. Let me come back around to this one.
What about, do y'all look at any TV shows or movies that you get, like, be like, man, that's a real good life advice?
I would like to say no, but, hey, man.
To me, I think the one TV show that I'm like, man, they be having some good stuff at The Wire.
Oh, with The Wire.
They be having some.
That's church.
Some real, that's true. But that's they church. Be having some real stuff in there, man. Sometimes I quote some stuff. The game is the game.
The game is the game.
The game is indeed.
Denise from Pearland is mad at me. Lopez, our hairstylists can be our friends, too. They have bills to pay. You owe your wife an apology followed by a thoughtful gift. I'm guessing Denise pays her hairdresser a lot.
Well, yeah.
See, I disagree because
Mrs. Lopez.
See, my hairdresser, that became my friend. It wasn't my friend when we started. Mm-hmm. And then we became friends to the point she started giving me. Sometimes she looked the other way. She's like, don't worry about it. Like,
but you pay her.
No, sometimes I don't. Sometimes she said, nah, don't worry about it. This one's on the house. That's a friend to me.
Okay. Sometimes she
call and check on me without
see, Lopez,
all that stuff.
You out the barber game. That's the problem.
No, you out the barber game. That's like the 832 says, you know, Lopez, black barbershops are town halls. You got experience. I've experienced it. I have definitely experienced
it.
Not in a long time, but I get that they're town halls. That doesn't mean they give good advice. That does not mean they give good advice.
Sometimes they do, though.
And who says my friends give good advice anyway?
The thing is, barbers think they know everything.
Yes, that's kind of my point.
So he probably is like, man, Draymond, you wilding too much, man. You just got to stay calm, listen to some R&B, some 90s R&B. You be good, man. Y'all going to win game seven.
That's probably exactly what he said to him, if we're going to be completely honest. That's probably it to a T. And finally, someone on the text line said, I get advice from my boss. Oh, wait, they pay me as well. So, yeah, that might not work. From 281, one of the best quotes from a TV show was Andy Bernard in The Office. I wish there was a way to know you were in the good old days before you actually left them.
Yeah, that's a good saying. And it's absolutely true.
Yeah, so, I mean, sometimes it's just the writing is clever enough mm-hmm. to where it sticks with you and it ends up being advice. The thing that I thought about when you said that was Hitch. That nice and simple, mm-hmm. that two step. When you're in that space, hey, you don't need to do a lot. Just keep it simple and trying to look cool out here. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL, including Bill Belichick. Seems like he's coming to his senses, trying to get outside help. We'll talk about that more next.